I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck, Mr...
Bond. James Bond.
For decades, we marveled at Sean Connery's depiction of James Bond. Men wanted to be him, and women wanted to be with him. Connery died in his sleep at the end of October. He was 90 years old. And since then, NPR TV critic Eric Deggans has been thinking a lot about Sean Connery's legacy as James Bond. Hey, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
So you wrote in a piece on Tumblr called How My Love for Sean Connery and Bond Led to a Serious Case of White Guy Hero Infatuation Syndrome. Tell us more about this infatuation.
Well, you know, when I was young, one of the first movies I can remember is Diamonds Are Forever, which is, I think, the second to last film that Connery played Bond in. My uncle took me to it. I was way too young to see it, but I wound up I had to be 8 or 9 or something like that. I mean, this was the '70s, you know, this was before, movie theaters got more stringent about age, but you know, I'm watching this thing. I'm loving this idea of a guy who's super cool, always dressed to the nines. He's an alpha male, any room he walks into. And of course he's fighting for right, and he's defeating these villains. And so it was a very glamorous, alluring kind of portrait. And in a weird way, it ties into this idea that you admire people who can come along and sort of cut through all the nonsense of modern society and deliver justice. And I think as a kid, that really appealed to me.
Yeah, you and millions of others. But there are also problems with the character. Here's a scene from the 1964 film Goldfinger, and Bond is getting a massage from a woman, and CIA agent Felix Leiter turns up for a chat, and he slaps her behind and sends her off. Let's listen.
Dink, meet Felix Leiter.
Hello.
Felix, say hello to Dink.
Hi, Dink.
Dink, say goodbye to Felix.
Hmm?
Man talk.
Right.
I mean,
so,
time has...
That sound you hear is him slapping her behind, sending her away.
Right, right. I mean, time really changes how we interpret and view depictions like this. I mean, once interpreted as playful, now seems inappropriate. I mean, how do you see it and how do you reconcile it?
So I was well aware of the sexism of the novels and the sexism of the movies. I mean, even when I was a teenager in the late 70s, I thought the way that women were treated in the films was terrible. So Goldfinger is a movie that's in the mid-60s. And, you know, I guess you could make the argument that that was a more accepted way of dealing with women back then. But I think part of the way we judge whether a film stands the test of time is that we judge how well it negotiates some of these things that were pretty abhorrent in society, even when they were happening.
Yeah. James Bond's actions are also often casually racist, too, right?
Well, yeah. And you know, we've got a clip from the film Dr. No. Dr. No, the first film in the Bond franchise, has Bond traveling to the Caribbean, and he has a local fixer, a black man named Quarrel, who helps him out. And they're visiting this mysterious island, and these security forces try to find them. And there's a moment where they're running for cover, and he turns to Quarrel and tells the guy to go get his shoes.
I'm getting out when I'm ready, and that's never in daylight.
This time you aren't fast. Where's your boat? Fetch my shoes.
It's just a really sort of bizarre way of Bond asserting his status, being an agent of the British government. And so when Bond goes to another country and acts as if he runs the place and assumes that the people who are natives there should be obeying his commands like they work for him, you know, that's problematic. And that's echoing all kinds of troubling things that are connected to the British Empire. You know, it's something that immediately sort of occurred to me when I rewatched Dr. No recently after Sean Connery passed away.
Well, in your piece, you draw the line between Sean Connery's depiction of Bond and other heroes like Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry and Charles Bronson's Death Wish character, Paul Kersey, that these characters really tap into this collective desire for a white male savior. But you know, these are really old references, though. Do you think that we've made strides today? I'm thinking about naming, for instance, Lashana Lynch as the new 007 agent.
So she's named 007, but James Bond is still played by a white male actor who's still the star of the film. She ultimately becomes a secretary. So, so forgive me for waiting until I see the film. And if she's truly independent, and if there's a sense that she's going to take over the franchise from Daniel Craig, then that's an amazing development.
That's NPR's TV critic, Eric Deggans. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you for having this discussion. I really appreciate you guys taking this on.